So today's reading is from the book of Ephesians, page 1174 of the Church Bibles, starting at chapter 2, verse 11. So page 1174, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Great. Well, if you'd like to take the Bible and turn back, if you've got a Bible, turn back to that reading that Catherine read for us. It's on page 1173, page 1174. My dear Grace Church, one says we keep coming to look at the Bible, which we believe is God's Word, and seek to hear from him about how we can rebuild our broken world. Let's pray as we come and look at this passage. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you so much for your grace to us, that we can come and hear as you speak to us. Father, please would you help us by your Spirit to understand your great plan to rebuild the broken world. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can't hear on that side. Okay. Right, I'll put that closer. Well, as Gerard said in his introduction, we live in a desperately broken world. Jane, can I have this first slide? That's great, yeah. And we'll have the next slide as well. So I just bring up this map. Here's a map of all the states who are in conflict with one another at the moment. I guess that our news channels can only keep up with one or two wars at the moment. It's because of Ukraine being in Europe, that's the war that we tend to focus on. But there are other wars going on all over the world. Europe, Africa, Asia, Middle East. Gerard commented on how many tens of millions of people are displaced, not being able to live at home because of war. But it's not just on the grand scale, the big scale, that there are problems. The political life in our country is very antagonistic, even at the level of families. There can be broken homes. Sad to know so many older people living by themselves because there's been some breakdown in relationship with their families at some point. Those of us who go to work will know that workplaces can be difficult. There can be work colleagues who we find it hard to get on with. Even in sports clubs, where I guess we go to relax, maybe if you're into sport, even in sports clubs, there can be difficulties and relationships and people leaving sports clubs because there's been a breakdown in relationship and going and joining another team. We have all sorts of problems in relationships. And if you're going to follow on the sheet, Jenny, next slide. My first point is our broken world, our broken world. And advances in technology have just, and so in social media, seem to have made the problem worse. Online bullying, for example, seems to be a particular problem. We all hope that technology would sort of help solve lots of our problems, but actually in many ways technology has just increased our problems. It is a very sad world that we live in. And the danger can be, I think, sometimes that we point the fingers at other. We can look at other people whose relationships maybe we feel are worse than ours, or we can look at nations that are fighting against each other, and we can think that we're doing okay. But if we look at our own relationships, be that within our families, be that within our work situations, be that, say, in sports clubs or whatever, if we're honest, we know that our relationships are not what we would like them to be. Maybe there are family members who we've fallen out with. Maybe there are work colleagues who we struggle to work with. Maybe there are neighbours we don't get along with. Chatting with somebody who's having a dispute with their neighbours about a fence and a tree that was hanging over the fence. Even church, we can have relationships that are very strained. It seems that in every corner of our world, there are fractures and broken relationships. Well, why is it like this? And what we're going to do this morning is we're really going to look at Jesus' analysis of this problem and his solution. And Jesus makes his analysis really very, very simple and yet profound. The basic thing is that we put ourselves first before others and before God. We think and act in selfish ways, and we don't think about the consequence of others. There's pictures of people fighting and grabbing stuff when people steal things. They don't think about what they are, the impact they're having on the other person. So often we just live without thinking about other people. We just think about what I want and what I want to do and how that works. And we even don't think about God. God, who is our great creator, he's the abundant one who richly provides for all. He made this glorious world, its beauty, its abundance, its variety. He's the one who gives us everything. And still so often we just ignore him. We push him away. We don't think about the consequence of our actions for him or for other people. No wonder our relationships struggle so much. And of course, it's not just a new problem. Throughout the history of mankind, it has been a problem. So if you go back in the Bible, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve turn away from God. They decide that they're going to be the gods of their lives, that they're going to make up their own rules. They're going to work out how they're going to live without really thinking about the consequences for other people. And within a page of the Bible, you come across the first murder, Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve's children. Well, they don't fight because Cain murders his brother Abel. He's driven by jealousy. He just wants his offer to be accepted. And so he's driven by jealousy. God warns him, your selfishness, your sin is going to control you. But nevertheless, Cain goes ahead and murders Abel. And so the Bible goes on. I remember reading the Bible with a friend of mine, a neighbor, and he'd never really read the Bible before. As we read through Genesis, he was shocked by the story that it tells of violence and pride and lying and sexual abuse and deceit and ruthless greed and family breakdown. And that's only in the first few pages. You don't have to get very far into Genesis when all those things happen. And again, it's easy to read the story and just think, well, that's what other people are like. It's okay. But the Bible doesn't allow us just to point the finger at others, somehow thinking that we are better than them. Let me just read some verses. Next slide, please, I think, Jamie. Here's some verses from one of the New Testament letters. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. We have all turned away from God, and it's shown in the way that we speak. We may look at those words and think, is that really me? But often we can be economical with the truth. We can make excuses about ourselves. We can make ourselves sound a lot better than we are in reality. We can show off a bit. We can speak maliciously. We can gossip. We can slander. We can gently push other people down and elevate ourselves. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. If you could record everything that I said last week, I'd be very embarrassed. I'd go and hide somewhere if you were able to get hold of a recording of all the things that I had said during the week and you were able to play them through. No wonder our relationships have great difficulty. No wonder we live in a world that is so broken. If you're doing the kids' questions, there should be some chocolate. Some of you are doing the kids' questions. Why is our world so broken? Why is our world so broken? Next slide, please, Jenny. And so we move on to the second point, which is Jesus Christ's rebuilding mission. Well, into this broken world, this terribly fractured world, a world marred by wars and all the other things we've been talking about, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. A man of extraordinary compassion, a man of extraordinary love, a man who didn't slander, a man who didn't gossip, a man who you could listen to his conversation and it was edifying and encouraging. Who sought to obey his father, who was filled with love and patience, who served others and was willing to suffer. It's not only Jesus' powerful actions that are amazing, his teaching, as he brought God's teaching to us. And he warned us about the world that we live in. He warned us, because it's us that cause it, that we are in danger of falling under God's judgment. The terrible use of our tongue puts us on a collision course with our God and Father. We have a date with God in judgment. And Jesus warned us, if we continue to live the way that we're living, then that day will not go well. We can pretend that we're better than others, but Jesus said very straightly, no one is good except God alone. No one is good except God alone. So often we think we're better than most, but Jesus won't let us get away with that. No one is good except God alone. So Jesus warned us about God's judgment. But he came to do something far more significant and important than that. And that's basically to transform our world, to rebuild our world, to save us and to prepare us for a better world to come. One of the verses from, to your next slide please, Jamie. One of the verses that Catherine read to us earlier puts it like this. His, that is Jesus' purpose, was to create in himself one humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in his one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. God's purpose is to create for himself one new humanity. Rather than this great fractured and divided world, God's purpose is to build one humanity. And when he talks about out of the two, he's thinking about a particular hostility that was there in the first century. The hostility between the Jews on the one hand and everybody else on the other. In the first century, that was an intense hostility. It still is today. Jews considered everybody else unclean. They wouldn't go into their houses. They wouldn't eat with people who weren't Jewish. There was this huge divide. And yet, the amazing thing, in the first few years of the Jesus era, communities began to crop up in southern Europe, across Turkey, with Jews and Gentiles coming together to worship God together, to love each other, to live in community together. And actually, if you want to come next week, that's what we're going to begin to think about as we look through the book of Acts, of how that happened, and watched in amazement as these communities came together. And wasn't they just lived together in, across southern Europe? Non-Jewish Christians initiated a relief program. They'd heard that Jews in Jerusalem, Christian Jews in Jerusalem, were struggling with a famine. They had a massive cost of living crisis. And yet, these non-Jews, these Christian Gentiles, sent a relief fund to help the Jews. There's a huge change in the way that these people were acting. Jesus came to build a new humanity. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two. My second kid's question, what did Jesus come to do? Now, sadly, it's fair to say that we Christians are not always good at living up to this amazing calling that Jesus has given us. Sadly, within churches, there are plenty of inter-ethnic and other problems. But I want to say there are also some amazing examples of Christ's power to break down inter-ethnic problems. A few years ago, I heard about Bible studies in Northern Ireland, in Northern Irish prisons, between terrorists from both sides, convicted terrorists from loyalist and Republican sides, coming together to study the Bible together, even though they had been previously plotting to kill each other. Sadly, in Serbia and the surrounding areas in the 1990s, there were terrible inter-ethnic tensions and wars and massacres. But I was just praying about a church there. I said one of the few organisations that has managed to break down those terrible inter-ethnic hostilities has been the Evangelical Church, being able to build across those terrible divides. Well, how has Jesus managed to make that happen? How can we join this great work that he is doing? What is his secret? Well, our passage in Ephesians tells us how it's going to happen. It is this passage. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Through his death on the cross, this hostility in advance of both the Jews and the Gentiles are removed. Well, how does that happen? Well, how did Jesus come to die? Well, the hostility and the violence of both the Jewish and the Roman authorities increased against him. And rather than sort of gathering an army to fight for himself, as his followers seemed to be willing to fight for him, he took that violence upon himself. He forgave those who attacked him. He submitted to their on the cross. And there he gave up his perfect life to bear the punishment that we deserve, so that we can be forgiven. Next slide, please, Jenny. It's another verse that comes from the Bible. God made him, that is Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's a verse we've been looking at quite a lot over the last few weeks. God made Jesus, who had no sin. He lived a perfect life. He was spotless. He didn't deserve God's judgment, but he became sin for us. He took our sin into himself. He took all our slander. He took all our malice. He took all our gossip. He took all our fighting. He took all our anger into himself, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We talked about this great exchange, where all my sin is put on Jesus Christ, and Jesus gives me his righteousness, that I can stand before God forgiven, spotless. Rather than falling under God's judgment, I can be received by God, welcomed into his eternal and glorious kingdom. But it's not only that it brings us into relationship with God, and wonderful though that is. as we understand that incredible, glorious grace that God gives us, that he comes to us and he pours out his love and he pours out his forgiveness and he pours out his grace, then that should change the way that we look at our world, and we should change the way that we look at other people, look at other Christians, look at other people. If God's Son has loved me so much, despite all my faults, despite all my prejudices, despite all my wrongdoing, if he has loved me, forgiven me, accepted me into his kingdom and glory, then how can I continue to hold prejudices against others? If I'm a loved and cherished member of God's family, how can I hold animosity against other members of that family? If God loves them as he's loved me, how can I not but seek to love them? Here are the seeds of this amazing kingdom that Jesus is building. Here are the seeds of God's new humanity. And Jesus isn't only doing that in this life. Important though that is, he speaks of a new community perfected in God's new creation when he returns in judgment. One of the earliest of Jesus' friends, John, was given an extraordinary vision of his heavenly community. Jane, can I have the next slide, please? After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Here is an extraordinary vision of human unity. People from every nation, or 190 or however many there are, every tribe, every ethnicity, all those languages that people speak, thousands of different languages, but now together, focused on the throne of God and focused on the Lamb. The reason why they talk about the Lamb is this idea that Jesus is the one who is a sacrifice for us. As he dies on the cross, he's like a sacrifice for us, dying in our place so that we can be forgiven. My final kids question. What was John given a great vision of? What was John given a great vision of? Here, ultimately, it's the vision of God's new humanity, God's new reality. This is God's great plan for his world, fully accomplished, fully realized in the new creation with Jesus at the center. And so my final question is, how do we become a member? How do we become a member of this new humanity? Well, it begins very simply with acknowledging and seeing our own prejudices to understand Jesus' analysis of what we are like. That we reject God, our creator. We put ourselves first. We subtly, or not so subtly, push others down. We elevate ourselves. A bit of slander, a bit of malice, a bit of gossip. We pretend, if you like, that we are our own little gods. We can run our own lives our own way without God. And because of that, we deserve God's judgment. We need to acknowledge that. We need to acknowledge that we deserve an eternity under God's just punishment. But then comes this extraordinary good news that Jesus came to save us. Jesus came to love us. Jesus came to bring us forgiveness. Jesus died to take that punishment. He died for our forgiveness. He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. He came to reconcile us to God, to bring us peace. What a wonderful, amazing thing that is. To build this new humanity, to transform our attitudes to one another and our attitudes to those around us. To build a new community that stretches to the four corners of the globe. And Jesus has done that. There are communities meeting today all over the world, in every country of the world. I know many of you here would say, yes, I am part of this new community. Yes, I have acknowledged my sin before God. Yes, I have confessed my sins. I've come to Jesus. I've asked for his forgiveness. I've taken on his love and seeking to love those around me. There are many of you here I know who have done that, but there may be some of you who haven't. And so I want to urge you, I want to encourage you, even this morning, to take that step, to take hold of the forgiveness that the Lord Jesus Christ is offering you. To be part of this amazing new humanity. to receive the forgiveness of Christ's death and resurrection. I want to encourage you to do it today. In a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer to God. I'm going to acknowledge our rebellion. I'm going to turn back to God. I'm going to seek his forgiveness. Ask to become part of God's new humanity, part of God's kingdom. If that's something you would like to do, then please do echo this prayer in your heart. Please do come to speak to me or Jared afterwards over coffee and find out more about how we can help you on this new journey. Well, let's pray together. Let's pray together. Our Father, we confess that we have pushed you aside and made ourselves into little gods. That our relationships, we have contributed to this broken world. Father, we know that we deserve your judgment. But we thank you that you sent Jesus to rebuild our world, to save us, to take the punishment that we deserve, to restore our relationship with you, and to rebuild our broken world. Lord, please take me into your kingdom. Please forgive me. Please make me part of your new world with you as my King. Amen.